Before I start the reading, I feel that I have to tell you, although the introduction was perfect, and thank you for that. We might be a very Christian and conservative church from this part of the world. And if you ask the Hungarians or the other Protestants from Transylvania, we are not Christian enough. So it's a very strange... very strange situation, but we do use the Bible each Sunday. So I chose one verse from the Bible, which is the reading for the beginning of my sermon, which is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62. And it says, Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." I always remember with a smile on my face the simplicity which I was thinking about the future on my childhood. Everything seemed so easy, with very clear life ways. All you have to do, or you must do, is study to find a good job, study hard, then find a good job, then meet a person you love and loves you in return, have children, and live happily ever after. Like in the fairy tales. Then, step by step, I learned that life is much more complicated and much more beautiful than this. I learned that life is everything that happens in the unnoticed successions of minutes, hours, and days. I started to understand that human relationships, vocation, and even love is much more complicated and complex. To grow up means trying to determine your identity. With all the memories, all the experiences, chances, and with everything you believe in, you try to build up your own value system. Of course, you have to consider all the environmental effects, the possibilities that you have in your own country, the culture you grew up in, people who had an impact on your behavior, the educational system, and so on. I was born and grew up in a pretty conservative society in Transylvania, Romania. And I had to face from time to time the fact that in the eyes of the Romanians, I am in the wrong place, in the wrong country. On the other hand, I was raised within the Hungarian culture and educated to value my national identity. I consider myself being twice a minority. First as a Hungarian ethnic living in Romania, in Transylvania. Second, as a Unitarian living in Transylvania, where the majority is Orthodox or Greek Catholics and Protestants, but even within the Protestants, we are the smallest church. I remember having faced for the first time these difficult circumstances. I was 9 years old when our family moved from one part of the city to another one. I was moved from a place where I was surrounded with Hungarian families and friends to this new neighborhood where all the kids of my age were Romanian. It helped me to learn Romanian, that's for sure. This was the time when I began to have a new experience of what it is like belonging to an ethnic minority, as I started mixing with the other children. It was also this time that helped strengthen my identity. At the FIFA World Cup in 1998, Romania played against England. At that time, we spent many hours together with the kids from the block of flats in our neighborhood. And as children, we were preparing for the evening's big event, they came up with the idea to paint the colors of the Romanian flag on the red, yellow, and blue on their cheeks as a sign of support for the national team. Obviously, that I also supported the Romanian team against England, but I didn't join them in the cheek painting activity. I just didn't feel comfortable with the idea of having the Romanian national flag's colors on my face. It was my first decision. When I went home and told my parents, they just smiled at me and told me that it would have been no problem if I also chose to do that. It was a memorable evening for me. Romania defeated England 3-2. And at the same time, I made my first decision, my first difficult choice in matters of national identity. My religious identity was also strengthened through the years, and I believe it also led me to my current profession. Having started attending religious classes before my confirmation, the confirmation is the traditional ceremony back in our church when the young children, age 14, have their ceremonial coming or acceptance to the grown-up members of the church. So you have to prove that you are wise enough and young enough or grown-up enough and you understand your faith and your beliefs. This is the confirmation. And then I joined the Janu Zsigmond Unitarian High School, and this was also a big step toward helping me understand the true values of my minority religion. I liked its openness, the fact that it allows me to question, to doubt, to rethink and reframe my thoughts. I am proud of many things regarding my religion. I love being part of such a long tradition, but also being open to everything that life brings. I am proud that my religion is built on tolerance and it can renew itself from time to time. I believe it also gives me the freedom to do the same. My day-by-day work with Hungarian and mostly Unitarian children gave me the challenge to have an impact on how they will build up their own value system and what they will consider important. I wanted them to be authentic and proud of everything they feel is their own. It is the possibility to make our place a better world. Being a minority brings up from time to time the question, how long is this likely to last? How long will Hungarian children speak Hungarian, sing traditional Hungarian folk songs, recite Hungarian poems, feel and love their national identity? At our place, it's not a very optimistic question, because the Romanian majority does not encourage us on that. And if we look at demographic or political statistics, we begin to fear that our work is pointless. We are few in number, we are weak, and we don't always share the same priorities. But then, In our despair and fear, we can find our answers in the teaching of Jesus. In this story, in these verses, we see Jesus, a very strict teacher, which is quite unusual from the Bible. Here are the ones who want to follow him, who want to be the builders of the kingdom of God. And even though Jesus sees their will, he refused them. I am almost upset with him when I'm reading these verses again and again, because they ask for such human and personal things that we can't help but sympathize with them. One of them, the first man, needs to bury his father. The other wants to say goodbye to his family. Why can't he understand this? We know that our relationships, our roots, and our life thus far are undeniably part of us. Is it too much they ask for? These really are exclusionary requests. I know that Jesus was a great teacher. It is something deeper he wants us to understand. He knows the answers to our questions. He knows that no one can reach an objective if he or she is focused on other things. At the best time, Jesus reminds us then that when we choose to serve an idea, a principle, when we hear a special call and we decide to work for that, it is only worth it if we put our hand to the plow and look straight forward. Those who look forward are the ones who believe in the need and importance of their activities. Those who look forward are the ones who fight for their dreams. Those who look forward believe in the inherent goodness of humankind. Those who look forward know that our wealth is more important than my own one. Those who look forward can feel the inspiring power of good. And they will experience how the whole world can move for that good. Those who look forward are the ones who know that the Great Spirit leads them on to reach their dreams. So Jesus wants these men to make a firm decision. He wants them to believe unflinchingly in the path they are choosing to take. He wants them to work with all their attention to serve the kingdom of God. And if they are not ready, it's not a problem. They just don't need to take that path. They don't need to start it yet. It is very easy to find a reason to quit, because there will always be negative effects, criticism, disappointments, and weaknesses. You can very easily find an area where you feel disadvantaged, unprivileged. When you put your hand to the plow and look back, you can see disappointed people and lack of success. You might feel that you yearn for gratitude. You will hear stories that will break your heart. You might even experience that yourself from time to time. And it will break you for a while. You will face dissatisfaction, failure. You can feel solitude and can feel abandoned. You will see others' faces that you never knew they had. You will see how people fight for first place in things they consider important. And you don't want to fight. In spite of all these, can you still take the path and look straight forward? What does Jesus expect from us? What requires from us the path we want to step on? How can we be worthy to serve the kingdom of God? Jesus' answer is very simple. You need to choose that lifestyle, that path, with your whole being. You have to believe in it, as it is the only you have. You have to believe that the Spirit will give you the strength and the wisdom for everything you want to do. You must get up even after failures and believe again and again in a just and love-worthy kingdom. And you will succeed because you work for the good and you are on the right side. And you will succeed because deep down in your heart you feel that there is no other path you would be able to choose. This is the one which you want to share your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your will, your power and your faith, because this is how we create a common wealth. We can join Balázs Ferenc, the famous Transylvanian Unitarian minister and writer, who was the first Transylvanian Unitarian minister graduating from Sarking School for the Ministry, and whose name is the scholarship. He says in one of his most famous books, and this is his credo, "I believe that the words nature, predestination, faith, decision, unchangeable will is to form persons who, with great trust, can feel and know themselves integrated parts of the whole world and act as such. I believe that the word purpose keeps working through many small aims, through the fulfillment of human will, that each generation, each individual, has the task of forging one of the chain links." The quotation is over. So, this has to be our objective. To do what we do from our best at the place and time which is given. And we have to believe that that is a very significant thing. In fact, it is the only thing we can do. And it's important for our whole world. From these verses of the Bible, we don't really have a specific description of those who fit for service in the kingdom of God. We could just conclude the requirements for those who want to follow Jesus. So let's take the risk. Give a chance to our beliefs, to our optimism, to our will of creating a livable kingdom in this world. Let the world see our invincible will to pursue everything we believe in. Even if you are less, just look forward onto what you have to plow. Remember your values, your good intentions, and take the risk of seeing you naive. And the good work will bring its results. Believe that your dreams and values are important, even if nobody is longing for the same path. Wake up every morning with the intention to step a little closer to the target you chose. And there is one important thing I want to say, one more at the end. I think we can only walk through our path if we never stop praying. We have to remember to recharge our spiritual batteries before we take our daily steps on our own path. Never hesitate to ask for wisdom and strength in all our work. Seek the silence that gives you wings and do what you feel you're called for doing. Just remember what Jesus teaches you. Put your hand to the plow and look straight forward to the things you want to accomplish, you want to succeed. May it be so. Amen.